Maybe. We'll see how today goes. I just want to, Steve, I'm not sure I got this correctly. A week from Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Now, I want to make sure I heard this, because, I mean, there are a lot of different kinds of churches out there. You're going to decorate the pots and then plant pot. Did I hear that right? Like, is this kind of a... plant the pots. I might have misunderstood.
You want to give me your phone number. I know we went through this email thing last time on how to contact you. You got a phone, we can call you. I'll call you what?
Yeah. Okay. The scripture verse this morning is so short, I will not ask you to stand, just as you are. From Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, in the King James. Yeah. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." I picked the King James, why? Because if it was good enough for George Friedrich Handel to put in the Messiah for the Hallelujah chorus, it's good enough for us. But actually, the newer versions make it singular. They say the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord. And I wanted the topic to be the kingdoms of our world. And so I chose King James. And besides, I mean, I wanted to sing the Hallelujah chorus, which, unbelievably, I know this is incredible, that's our closing song today. The band is, Andrew, you're laughing, like this is not funny. All right, so good. I want to give a disclaimer before I get started, and then I will try to be efficient. I know it's a communion Sunday. My disclaimer is this. What I'm going to speak about today is not something that I'm very good at. I believe it is what God called me to speak to you today. It is not necessarily easy, and I am not necessarily there in what I want to speak about today. And I give you that disclaimer because not everything I'm going to say is necessarily going to be comfortable for everybody in the room. And I want you to know it's uncomfortable for me as well. That being said, happy 4th of July. I don't know if you guys had a regular 4th of July with lots of family. Did anybody have family here for the weekend? Anyway, 4th of July, right? Family, fireworks, a celebration of an event that took place many, many years ago that none of us, not even Miss Hillary, was present at, even though it's her birthday today. None of us were present at, and yet we continue to celebrate this birth of America, and it's a time for remembering where we live and being grateful. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm grateful to have been born where I was born. I'm grateful to live in this country. I'm grateful that I live in a place where I can go wherever I want on a Sunday morning, and I can say, I just want to praise God, and I'm grateful that I live in a place where I can't sleep at night because people are allowed to shoot really loud fireworks off in our town now. Like, what was going on last night? And I'm grateful for the freedom. Like it's a time, honestly, where we kind of take pride in our country and we take pride in the place that we live. And it's a great celebration. And we really are fortunate to live where we live. And for those of us who are here, we're fortunate to have been born where we were born. So I get to travel a little bit to do these trainings. I do these community trainings. And I went on this one community training to Nebraska because like they have any communities there. But they did, apparently. And I had to drive to Nebraska. Now, that's a long trip. And so while I'm driving to Nebraska, I have to do something with my mind. And I'll listen to some CDs or some podcasts. Sometimes I will flick through the radio and just see what's on there. And I accidentally landed on Christian talk radio. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Christian talk radio. Not Christian music radio. Christian talk radio. It's a different thing. And I have to be honest, a lot of times I don't really listen to Christian talk radio for a variety of reasons, but in this particular case, I was captivated by the content of the conversation that was taking place, partially because the guy speaking was from New Zealand. Anybody here from New Zealand? Can we get a... All right, never mind. Like, New Zealand accents are super cool. And so, like, I was just listening, and initially, all that caught me was the accent. But then this guy turns out to be an expert on politics, and especially on the politics of how China is influencing governments around the world. And he starts talking about how New Zealand is completely gone. The entire government is in the pocket of the Chinese. There's no real conservative, there's no real liberal anymore. Everybody is kind of so economically tied to the Chinese that it's taken over the world. And Australia is falling fast. And he's just, and the guy's smart, okay? He's not just like some crazy guy. He actually, well, he had an accent, so he probably sounded smarter than he was. But, okay, and then he starts talking about the United States of America. And he says up to a quarter of the American Congress is so tied to China economically that their votes are being influenced by China. Now, I don't know about you guys, I got nervous. I started to think, what is going on? Like, I wonder, like, have you felt that way? Like, our way of life is being threatened. Things are changing. And even foreign countries like China, we thought they'd come with, like, I had a friend that used to say, 200 million Chinese are gonna land on the coast of California and just keep marching. Like, that's not gonna happen. But is our country losing its identity because of the control of Chinese who are slowly but surely, like, this is one of those things. And I turned off the radio and I was like, I actually was anxious. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever thought, we have to get our country back to what was? We have to get our country back to the values that made us what we are. We have to be careful about the change. Have you ever felt this way? Have you ever actually thought this? I got a revelation. Revelation is happening in our time. I felt that. And I turned off the radio and I'm like, turning off the radio helped. Because I began to think, what if we're wrong? What if America, in this verse, is a part of the first part, not the second part? The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of God. What if the kingdoms of the world that we read in Revelation are the ones that are falling? And what if we're wrong? What if America is actually not God's kingdom? What if followers of Jesus, real followers of Jesus, are not supposed to be prioritizing a godly America or trying to get back to our traditional American values? What if we're not even supposed to view ourselves as Americans at all? But as Peter says, literally, aliens and strangers in this place, citizens of an entirely different kingdom, an advance guard of a present and growing kingdom that will overwhelm and replace America and all other kingdoms. What if we've gotten lost? What if we're getting it wrong? Now, I have to, sometimes I get new ideas, okay? And when I get new ideas, even if my new ideas are not new to anybody else, like you guys would be all like, yeah, I've thought about this a million times. Okay, it was new to me, okay? I've never heard anybody else talk about this, so this is a new idea for me, all right? Just deal with it. But when I was here back in the early part of the year, I did a thing about how every individual human, and this includes you, like you're thinking, no, that's not true for me. Every single person in this room is made in the image of God. It is a fundamental part of what we believe as followers of God. This is bigger even than just being a follower of Jesus. Anybody that holds the Bible, including the Jews and even to some extent Muslims and some of the stories in there, being made in the image of God, as God imagined us to be, as a part of our created identity. And I said, okay, every individual is made in the image of God. And we know this because all the people that we know, including you, have four things in you. You have a desire to be great, and we get confused about what greatness is, but you want to fulfill your purpose. We have a desire to be good. That's why we think we're right in every argument and the other guy is wrong. We want to be good. We want to be right. We have a desire to fix what's broken. Every single person wants to fix what they see as broken. The problem is sometimes we get the part that's broken wrong and the solution's way wrong. And the fourth part is we all want to be intimately connected in relationship. And so I preach that series, right? So I've been reflecting on this. This is the theory of systems, okay? That's the individual. I think there's a similar process for systems. Any system that's set up by people, if you get a group of people that are, because here's the thing, this is a little uncomfortable, so I hope you're okay with this. You are made in the image of God, but you messed it up. Like, you're a distorted image of God. Like, you are not it. Some of you are like, I think I might be. No, you are. And if you think that, it's time for you to have a conversation with people that know you, okay? You are a distorted image of God. You haven't gotten it right. None of us have. It's why we are continually trying to be better at who we are. We're trying to improve ourselves because we want to be more like this thing that's missing in us. But what happens when a whole group of distorted images of God get up and set up a system? What happens when a whole group of distortions get together and say, oh, here's a problem, we can solve it? What if we set up a business? What if we set up a social service agency? What if we set up a government? What if we set up a church? And I think there's an analogous process, that every single system is set up just as you as an individual are trying to be the image of God. Every system is actually trying to recreate the kingdom of God. Like, just as you as an individual know there's something wrong, you're not sure what it is, but you know there's something wrong, and you're trying to get back to something that's missing. Systems are trying to get back to God's kingdom as it was established and meant to be, and will be someday. And I haven't got this completely right. This is my new thought. So there's only two things I can talk about today. I'm going to talk about them very briefly. Number one, every system is trying to bring order to chaos. There's a problem. We got to have some order, and in order to have that order, we have to have some boundaries around the chaos. God had boundaries in the garden, okay? There was one. Don't eat that. That was the boundary. Just don't do that. We're not so good at that, okay? We have multiple layers of rules and regulations to enforce the boundaries. And the second thing is, every system believes that what it's doing is best for the people in the system. Okay, nobody sets up a system and say, let's see if we can really screw people up. Nobody does that. And yet, how many of you guys have worked with systems that are actually harmful to the people they're trying to serve? I see it in schools. That's the system I'm most familiar with. I see people being completely destroyed emotionally and spiritually, frankly, by a system that says our whole desire is for kids to achieve their fullest potential. But don't do anything creative. Don't do anything different. There's sin in the public schools, in case you don't know that. There's one sin. Just don't be different. And if you are different, guess what the school does? It blames you and kicks you out. Every system believes it's doing what's best for the people in the system, but the people that don't fit what the system is asking get marginalized. Do you see what I'm saying here? This deserves more examination, but just as you are an individual distortion of the image of God that's placed within you, every system is a distortion of the kingdom of God that was created to do what's best for people and to bring order out of chaos. America is a distorted system. It's not the kingdom of God. I'm not even sure it's a godly kingdom. Now, I'm going to do something right now, and like, some of you are going to be like, all right, I'm ready to walk out, okay? Just bear with me, okay? Let me make my point. This stuff isn't the best, okay? It's hard for us to look at, and I'm telling you, I'm dealing with this myself too. And some of you are going to say, oh, I see where he's going with this. I hear this all the time from so-and-so. I'm not even sure America is a godly kingdom. Like, I want to get back to when America was what it was, like the way it was supposed to be when we were founded on. Back to what? Shall we go back to Jim Crow laws? Shall we go back to wealth creation out of World War II? After World War II, there was something called the GI Bill. It absolutely elevated a whole group of people. It included everybody that served in the armed forces, including African Americans, except for one thing. African Americans could only access the college part of the GI Bill through traditionally black colleges. There weren't enough spots. Did you know that starting in, right after World War II, what we know as a house mortgage became a common thing? It wasn't something that was known before that. Do you know that between the end of World War II and into the 70s, 1% of mortgages were given to African Americans? Maybe we should just go further back. We just go to slavery. Maybe we should go back when the entire Western, like right where we are, back to when America, the entire Western, from here west, all the way to, am I pointing west? I don't even know. The entire Western part of the United States was occupied by whole nations of people that are not there anymore. Maybe we'll go back 100 years ago to where women were not allowed to vote. Some of y'all are like, that would be so much easier. Maybe we just go further back to when the only people who were allowed to vote, who were allowed to hold office of influence, were white men who owned property. Maybe that's where we should go. Back to when America was, Now, I know some of you have heard this stuff before and you think this is going in a political way. It isn't political. This isn't revisionist history. This is what happened. And my point is this. Every one of those things, there were Bible-believing Christians who used the Bible to justify those things. They thought they were doing the right thing. But you guys, they'd gotten the kingdoms of the world and the kingdoms of God confused. And they thought that God had anointed this kingdom, and therefore our kingdom was the right kingdom, and the way we viewed them things, this is how we're going to do things. And oh, by the way, here's a Bible verse. Oh, by the way, here's some things we can believe. Oh, by the way. In fact, if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, and now I'm just going to mess with you. The Americanized church is actually a very, very good example of really messing up the kingdoms of this world and the kingdoms of God. I've been a part of churches, some of you guys grew up in this just as I did, where the most important thing in the church is the bylaws and the Constitution. Our process for checks and balances within the church. Our churches are more concerned about insurance and tax laws than we are about reaching people for Jesus Christ. I was in a... here's the thing. The things I just named, like bylaws, constitutions, checks and balances, insurance, tax laws, I don't know if you guys know this, that's not in the Bible. None of it. None of it's in Scripture. I was in a board meeting once upon a time. And I'm an annoying person, okay? You can imagine me being in a board meeting. It's fine if I'm up here. You guys can't really argue with me. But in a board meeting, right, it's like, ooh. And so I made this point, and this was long before I'd really thought about this in the depth that I have. But I made this point, you know, the way we do business is very American. It's not just very biblical. Like, we can't back up the way we do it from the Bible. Like, what are we doing? And someone, an older person, not like me, or wait, now I'm that age. Anyway, it doesn't matter. An older person said, and I'm not making this up, well, you can prove anything from the Bible. And the context of what we were talking about was this. We don't need the Bible. We're Americans. We can figure this out. We have a better way. Like, we don't need to get the Bible out because all we're going to do is argue about what the Bible says. So let's just do it ourselves. What does Jesus have to say about the kingdoms of the world? Not much. He didn't talk about it hardly at all. And of course, there are a couple things, right? He did talk about the kingdom of God a lot. I don't know if you know this. The kingdom of heaven, they're kind of interchangeable for us today. He talked about the kingdom of God a lot. In Matthew 13, you can find 7 different parables. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Okay? You know these things. If you read this, if you read the Gospels, it's Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. There's only a couple times when there's a collision. And you guys know the stories. Most of you will have known these, but if you don't, just kind of track with me for a minute. The religious leaders, usually the bad guys in the story, okay? The religious leaders were always trying to set up a collision between Jesus and Rome, because they knew either he would have to submit to Rome, in which case he's not religious, or he would have to rebel against Rome, in which case Rome would take him down. The religious leaders of that time were using government to get their needs met. Good thing that doesn't happen today. All right, so in one case, they set him up, right? They go, hey, Jesus, check this out. Rome wants us to pay taxes. But I'll bet you don't think we should. Is it good for us to pay taxes or isn't it? And Jesus is like, show me the coin. Like, what do you pay the tax list? And they bring it over and he says, what? You guys know the story. Whose image is on this? And they say, well, Caesar's. And Jesus just kind of like, it's like he takes the coin and just goes, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God. Isn't it almost like he was just saying, well, who cares? Like, that's not even important. Because in the mind of Jesus, in the teachings of Jesus, there's no collision between the kingdoms of the world and the kingdoms of... There's no conflict between these kingdoms because there's no comparison between these kingdoms. One is entirely and completely meaningless. Throw the coin. Who cares? There are more important things for you to be doing than worrying about following the rules. And then we got Jesus meeting Pilate, right? And again, the religious leaders have manipulated Jesus into the hands of the Romans because they want the government to keep their system intact. And the whole thing, right? First of all, Pilate's like, are you a king? And Jesus is like, yeah, I am, but not of this place. And so, like, then a little more conversation, and Jesus says, look, I'm a king. My servants could basically clean the place up with your sorry little soldiers. He didn't say that, okay? That's my translation. But it isn't time for that now. It isn't time for that. But I came and was born for truth, to which Pilate, the ruling power, says, what's truth? Truth is who's in charge. Truth is who has the most power. Truth is who gets to make the decisions. A little bit later, like, again, you know, he's saying to the Jews, look, you take them and judge them. And they're like, oh, we can't put them to death. We're submissive to this higher power, the Roman power. You can put them to death. You do it. Well, Pilate goes back and Jesus won't talk to him anymore. And Pilate says, don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And Jesus says, who cares? You have no power. Your government has no power except that it's given you from God. I don't care what you do to me. I will obey this kingdom, not yours. The religious leaders of our time, and I don't want to speak to yours, okay? I don't know enough about what's your conversations here. The religious leaders of our time, and in many places in the American church, are more concerned about getting the government to do their will and protect their rights than they are about telling people that Jesus died for their sins and can set them free for eternity. And then we incorporate that into our government systems within our church, where as long as we get the rules right. Jesus didn't talk much about worldly kingdoms, but he did say this. He said, this is how you ought to pray. My Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We forget that that when Jesus was talking to first century Jews, and what the first century Jews to whom the Bible was written, what they understood was it was never about going to heaven. We've adopted this idea that, oh, life kind of sucks and then you die, but at least you go to heaven. We just got to tough it out. It was never about that for the people to whom the Bible was written. It was always about the kingdom of heaven coming to earth, when God would come and meet people here and establish his kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be preparing for and preparing people for. That's what, can you imagine Jesus saying, this is what you ought to pray. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, go pray that, but it isn't going to happen. Is that what Jesus would tell us to pray for? Something that, like, nah, ain't going to happen. Revelation sort of backs this up, you know. At the end of Revelation chapter 21, it says this: now the dwelling of God is with people. Not people went there. God comes here. The new Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom, comes down and meets us here. It's okay, I'll stop. I promise. I just need a moment. On July 4th, many people will say, God and country. God and country. It's not that we're forgetting about God, it's just we're putting an and. And when we put and, we are saying God and. And my friends, my brothers and sisters, and those of you who are not yet my brothers and sisters, but I pray will be because you come to know Jesus, that's idolatry. When we say God and country, it is idolatry. We are merging our worship of God and saying that it has an equality, and we become like the Old Testament Jews who would worship God, but then they had, and if you go back and read, you can read about these, they had Asherah poles and Baal worship and all these idols, and they'd put them all in the same place. Anytime we put a symbol of a kingdom other than the kingdom of God at the front of our church, where we should only be looking to God, it's idolatry. Now your church, like my church, like every church I've ever grown up in, insists. And some of you would have a tantrum if anybody said, take that down. It's happened in churches I've been a part of. It's idolatry. Now, here's the thing. Idolatry has one result in Scripture: death. Like, I don't want to mess with you, okay? You're going to be an idol. You're dead. That's true individually, but let's talk about systems now. Look around you figuratively, okay? The Americanized church is dying. And part of the reason is because we are idolatrous. We have elevated worship of country to the same level as worship of God. And that's just one example, okay? There are lots of other examples. Here's what happened in that radio thing, you know? I started listening. Part of the reason I don't like Christian talk radio, if you ever listen to it, just keep track. Do they say the word America first or Jesus first? Just listen to it. It's quite annoying. It's quite annoying. And it's not that I doubt these people's faith. I think they've just forgotten who we really are. So I'm listening to it, I'm thinking to this. Check this out. What if God's will for people is for China to take over the United States of America? And who am I to say it isn't? How arrogant is it of me to say, well, I'm American. God obviously favors us over the Chinese. God used Babylon. God used Rome. God used the evil kingdoms of this world to say, wake up! It's not about power in this world. It's about Jesus. And what's the church supposed to be? What kind of a church changes the world, right? Like, what's the church supposed to be doing? Well, I'll tell you what, it's not a church that blends worldly kingdoms and godly kingdoms, no matter how good our values might be. You don't blend those. In fact, what kind of a church changed the Roman world? And I don't know, a couple of years ago, I preached about this, right? It was an invisible, nameless group of people with no power, no positions of influence, no leverage at all to influence the culture, except this one thing. They believed Jesus, and they obeyed the command, love as you've been loved, love others. And they overthrew the Roman Empire. Do you know where there's a church that's doing that right now? An invisible, nameless group of people who are simply living out the gospel, even under threat. And millions of people are finding not a relationship with a church, but a relationship with Jesus, which is the only thing that they can hold on to. Do you know where that is right now? I'll bet you know. Maybe we need China. Maybe we need the persecution of China to truly get America back on track. Somebody says, but I'm scared, I'm worried. Me too. And there's definitely, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm so grateful to live where I live. I don't deserve the freedoms that I have. And I have no end of respect for the people who have fought and died for those things. But America is a distorted version of the kingdom of God, and it always will be. It will never fulfill what we're really looking for. Only Jesus will do that. Only the kingdom of heaven. Look, I like being an American. I'm so proud. People still want to come here, you know? Like, there's a reason we have these immigration problems. It's because people want to come here. They believe in some of the things that America has stood for. I'm okay with that. There's a place for it. But it needs to be God, then country. Never God and country. I like being an American. But check it out. I'm only going to be an American for about maybe, God willing, 30 more years. Come on. Maybe 30 more minutes. Some of you may run me down in the parking lot after this. I might not make it. I might not make it home. But I'm going to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Are you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? And my encouragement to you is today is this. Confess. The only cure for idolatry, confess it and repent. Get it in order. As a church, Grace Point, I'm not a part of your government. Get it together. Individually, figure it out. And start with this. You individually are a distorted image of God. But Jesus came for you to set you free from your brokenness. Accept it. You'll have an opportunity as the communion's passed to accept it. Then acknowledge him as the king. Not your favorite president, past, present, or future. Jesus is king. And then accept the kingdom of God like a little child watching the 4th of July fireworks. With wonder and awe. Amen.